I'm delighted now to be joined in the studio by Shannon Bullman-Joyce, who a lot of you may know. 5 years ago, 5 years ago at this stage, was diagnosed with what exactly was
it? Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And got the all clear.
Yeah, had the all clear and everything.
Living your life, happy as Larry, had a beautiful baby girl.
Yep.
And then recently, you got some news.
Yeah.
I won't say bad. I won't say, you know, let's not put a kind of spin on it, but you got some news.
Yeah.
So what was the first inkling that you kind of felt was there was something wrong?
So I suppose from being sick, I've kind of known, like, you know, I kind of know when there's something wrong. I know when I'm just run down and I'm tired and I might have a cold or a cough or whatever it is. Mm. I know that. But just a couple of weeks ago, I was actually at a circuit class on the Tuesday night, and it was fine, everything was fine, and I was getting kind of cramps in my tummy, and I was saying, oh, I'm a little bit sore. And I woke the next morning and my tummy was still a bit sore, and I was saying, yeah, no, I probably after pulling something now in the class last night. And I went to work. I was in Dublin that day with work, and I came home. I was still not feeling great. I wasn't sick or anything. I was just kind of going, oh, my stomach is kind of sore. And I had a little feeling, I felt a lump in my groin. On the left hand side, it's in the exact same place as the lump was 5 years ago. So I kind of knew then straight away.
And how did you feel when you felt that? What was the initial?
My heart just sank. I swear to God, it's like, you know, when you get those butterflies in your tummy, and I kind of, and at the best of times I can be a bit of a drama queen, so I was like, right, maybe it's nothing now. And then I got Barry, my partner, I said, look, just feel this. I said, I have to have somebody else tell me that it's nothing. And he said, no, look, I can feel a lump. He was like, I can feel the lump. So I went straight to South Dock. It was the Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, I'd say, and I was like, no, I have to go to South. I have to see a doctor tonight. And I went to South Dock, and she said, look, yeah, there's a lump there, but there's no point, we can't send you anywhere, because an ultrasound is what they need to do, and they won't be open till tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So I can send you to A&E, but you're going to be sitting there essentially, so you might as well sit at home and wait. So the next morning I actually went down to my own GP, and he was saying, yeah, look, there is something there, you know, you're not imagining it, but I don't think it is anything, Shannon, you know, it might be just something small, it might be an ingrown hair, you know, some kind of follicle that's after getting infected. He was so confident, he actually gave me antibiotics and everything, and he said, look, we'll still get your oncologist Seamus O'Reilly to check you out just because of your history. So
but yourself, did you think yourself
no, I didn't. Yeah. I actually thought I was after pulling something at the, and I said, I'm after, this is so embarrassing now, because I'm after pulling something at the class, and I have everybody up to 90 and you know, thinking that it's something bad. And I honestly didn't. Especially, I suppose, when the GP said, look, here's an antibiotic, and I knew he was so calm about it, because they don't take, like, the last 5 years, whatever, they don't take any risk. Yeah. I mean, they don't take a chance. So when he kind of said, look, I'll still get Seamus to have a look at you, and I was kind of like, yeah, you know, and I really didn't. But that evening, so my doctor rang me back again after lunch. He said, look, Seamus wants to see you at 6 o'clock this evening, because he was actually going on holidays the next day. So I said, grand, went up to Seamus, and that's when I panicked, because he felt it and he sat back down, and he's the kind of man who, his expression, you'd never actually tell if it's good or bad, you know. And I was kind of like, yeah. And he said, yeah, no, there's a lump there. He said, and I'm not happy with it, because it's quite full. It feels full. Normally, if it was like an infection or something, it would be grainier, okay, if that makes sense. He said, that's quite full. But he said, look, don't panic. It might not be anything. We'll get it seen to straight away. And to be fair, like, he was flying out the next morning, but had my biopsy booked for 8 a.m. the following morning, so it was kind of done very quick. And I got those results the following Wednesday, so it was kind of a week from when I found the lump to being diagnosed again. And Seamus was on holidays, so he was kind of texting going, did you hear anything, because he had somebody kind of put in charge. So I had gotten that phone call, and he said, yeah, look, I was actually out in my mom's house, I went upstairs, took the call, and he said, look, I am sorry to be telling you, he actually said to me, do you want to come up to Cork? We'll talk about the results. I was like, oh, sure.
You know,
I know now. Yeah, I said, yeah. And I said, go on, just tell me. And yeah, he said, look, unfortunately, it has come back that there are lymph nodes there again. And we would. And I said, so am I technically saying, so my lymphoma is back? He said, yeah, you do have lymphoma by everything. But it's funny, because my blood's never showed anything. Cool. And 5 years ago, they never showed anything either. My blood count is always fine. It never, and even like, because I specifically get my bloods checked for lymphoma, and it's always fine.
God.
Yeah, so, you know, I was kind of, because the bloods, I actually had gotten the blood results back earlier that day, and the nurse who rang me with those said, your bloods look absolutely fine. I was like, yeah, surely it was something would show up in the bloods. You know, I was saying, yeah. And then he rang and he said, look, no, your bloods are fine, but unfortunately the biopsy results have come in and this is what it is.
Because, like, your first diagnosis, there was a bit of a, you know, hoo-ha, like, you didn't, you were here, you were there, you didn't know what was going on.
I was in hospital.
You were being told that there was nothing wrong and then,
I was going to my own GP, I suppose, at the time. I have a different GP now, but at the time I was with somebody else, and I was going and they were saying, no, it's not now, you know, and here, like, it's nothing, and here's an antibiotic and here's an anti-inflammatory and here are painkillers and things, because I was in an awful lot of pain the last time, like, I was much sicker. And no, like, nothing was clearing it up. So eventually we actually went to A&E, and I'll never forget it, we were sitting up in A&E and they were like, yeah, we'll have to admit. I honestly thought I'd go up, they'd, you know, be like, no, there's nothing wrong with her, and send her home again. But they said, yeah, we'll admit her. And that was the Wednesday, and I didn't get home for 2 weeks. And then I got home for one night, and then I had to go back in the next day to start treatment. You know, it was it was kind of, but when I was in, even in A&E, because my bloods were fine, they were taking bloods maybe 4 to 6 times a day, and none of them were showing anything, you know. And it was funny, and in the end, because I had that lump in my groin, in the end they said, yeah, look, we will have to biopsy it, it's kind of last resort, but we will have to biopsy it. And even then I was like, no, sure, it's probably nothing. I was playing Camogie Mad at the time 5 years ago, so I again thought that I was after injuring myself. And I thought, now, you know, my thing back then was, sure, I'm out for championship now and I'm not going to be able to play. Cancer was the last thing that I was thinking of. Do you know what I mean? At 19, it is the furthest thing from your mind. But yeah, unfortunately it was. So
like, you were 19 versus now, 5 years later, so much else has happened in your life. Obviously you've changed as a person, you've, you know, grown up a bit more. But how, if different was it getting the results at 19 to now getting the results at this age? What has changed, and how has your kind of attitude towards it been different to the first time?
Yeah, like, I suppose this time it's much scarier for me, just personally, because I have a 2.5-year-old, you know, and that was my thing. I was like, no, I can't have anything happen to me, because what's she going to do? And, you know, I have my own family now. Whereas 5 years ago, I was somebody's daughter, whereas now I'm somebody's mother. It's much more difficult for me to kind of, now, do you know what? I'm in much better form this time around. I'm much more positive. Now, I was positive back then as well, but I'm going every day. You know, there hasn't honestly been a day, like maybe a couple of hours in the afternoons I could be tired, that I'm like, can somebody take her? Because I'm exhausted. I'm trekking away. I'm actually fine. And I suppose it just, I've matured over the last 5 years as well. You know, I'm now kind of, you know, I'm responsible for somebody else. I'm responsible for a household. You know, I have an income, and, you know, things like that, that being sick just wasn't on the cards for me, and it happened. But you have to just change. You know, you have to just change what you do every day, and we're adjusting to life like this now, and it won't be for long. You know, it's not a forever thing. It's only a temporary
thing.
And
how long is the treatment going to take?
So it's actually much different than to the last time. The last time it was 6 rounds of chemo, which would have been kind of 6 days of it, because I had it every third Thursday, we'd say, for kind of for six rounds. So this time what we're doing is 3 rounds of chemo, and it's kind of 3 to 4 days in the hospital at a time. So we're kind of looking at kind of minimum 9 days of kind of being given this poison to make it better. But
that's tough going.
Yeah, it's much more intense. Now, I'm due to start on the 19th. So in 2 weeks, I think a week and a half. Yeah, about a week and a half. And I'm booked in for the week. And that's just because they don't know how I'm going to react to it. So they said, look, there's no point booking you in for 4 days and trying to rush you out the door if you're sick. So what we'll do is we'll book you for the week, and hopefully, you know, we won't have to rush anything. We can take our time with it and see how you react to it. If you need, you know, an extra day for the last round of it or whatever, you know, at least we have that time.
Is it the same kind of, it's like it's a completely different, I suppose, different, what they're putting into you is different as
well? Yeah, like, I only found this out as well. You can only have kind of one round of chemo, you know. So the last time I had CHOP chemo, it was called, so I couldn't have CHOP again. And I suppose when I spoke to Seamus O'Reilly, he had said to me, you know, it didn't work the last time, obviously, because the cancer is back. And that's a good point, you know. So obviously CHOP doesn't cure me, you know, yes. so I can't have that again. It wouldn't be as effective because I've had it before. Right. So this time it's called ice chemo. So it's normally what I've kind of seen and what I've been told. It's kind of 3 days. The first day is like 6 hours. You know, you've kind of the evening off that if you were well enough, you could, I suppose, go out for a bit of dinner or something, you know, whatever the case is. Or the next day then is like 12 hours. And, you know, but you see, like the nurse was saying to me last week, that first day, the 6 hours could turn into nine. We might need to take breaks in between. You might not be able for it. Okay. Or so that's why it's going to kind of take a little bit longer. But this one is much, much more intense. And then afterwards, I'm actually getting a stem cell transplant in St. James's in Dublin.
Right. So what does that entail then?
So it's basically... It's kind of your sibling that they'll test, you know, kind of like a bone marrow transplant, those kind of things, but it's stem cells. So obviously my own cells aren't kind of strong enough. So what they do after, like in most cases, and I've had loads of people reach out to me saying they've gotten it done in St. James's and Dublin are like phenomenal. They're excellent at what they do. Basically, they'll either take my own cells and, you know, do whatever they do to them and kind of make them a bit stronger and put them back in, or they'll test a sibling. Now, I only have one brother, so he's the lucky one. I know, he's cursing me now. So it's just basically taking cells, making them stronger, putting them back into your own body then to kind of build you up. Because I suppose the way that it's been kind of described to me in layman's terms is that your body isn't strong enough to fight off this infection when it comes, obviously, you know, because it's come around again. So the next time, you know, touch wood, but if there was a next time that after the stem cell, your body is strong enough to fight it off and this doesn't happen again, basically. Yeah. Apparently the success rate of the stem cell transplants are like amazing and, you know, people live very long after them and they live very long without being sick after them. Because like the last 5 years, I've, you know, any time, like even if Roisin gets a bug up home, like I always get it, or, you know, if she comes in with a sniffle, like I'll always get a cold or something then. So I suppose just to kind of build myself back up that way, you know, much faster as well. But yeah, so I must actually meet St. James's in Dublin and get a lot more information about that because I don't have an awful lot. I kind of just know the basics of it, but I don't know what it entails. Like I've read somewhere that, you know, you're in hospital for 3 weeks and then other people are saying, oh, well, I know such and such who got that and they were in isolation for 6 weeks. And so I don't know. Yeah, so I'm not going to...
And everyone's different too, you know, and how their body reacts to it and everything.
Yeah.
So obviously because you're at an age now where, you know, you already have a child and possibly going forward, you would like to have more.
Yeah.
So with this form of chemotherapy, there's a chance that you may not be. So you're taking steps to ensure that, please God, you will be able to.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was a little bit of controversy over this last couple of days. So normally after chemo, they will kind of tell you, you know, your eggs could be your eggs are harmed and they're not there anymore. Obviously that wasn't the case for me after the first time. Now, the first time it was put to me, we can freeze eggs, but like I was 19 at the time, it was the furthest thing from my mind, and we actually didn't have the time. So even if I said, yeah, we'll go ahead with it, when we actually got all the results and everything like that, we didn't have the time. We had to go straight in with treatment. So it wasn't there for me. This time it's caught quite early because, as I said, I knew there was something wrong. So it was a week from finding a lump to being diagnosed. So it was caught quite early. So I have time to get embryos harvested and frozen. So we have an appointment in the morning. Now, because I've had chemo before, there was a little bit of a thing that I wasn't able to get it done through the HSC with the Rotunda in Dublin because I've had chemo before. Now, Seamus is a godsend and he made sure that it happened. So he made sure that happened. Now, we could have gone privately, so we were going down that route if we couldn't do it publicly, but we can, thank God, do it publicly. Right. It just takes the financial pressure off, you know, because it's the last thing you need. So we're going to the Rotunda in the morning. It's the Harry unit up there. Some people might know of it. I've never heard of it before. And basically we freeze embryos and hopefully we'll never need to use them and we'll naturally have another baby, but at least it's there.
Yeah.
Because at 24, it's very hard to say this is it, you know. And I know, and I've said this loads of times, that there's other ways that we can extend our family, you know. There's other ways to give Roisin a sibling, but it would be nice if we could do it ourselves because it was in our plans, you know.
Hopefully they
won't be kind of too put out by this and we'll still get down that route.
And look, today's medicine, they just can do magic things.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
I mean, you know, yeah. But as you said, please God, you won't need to use them.
Yeah, but they're, it's nice to know they're there, because it's if comfort. They weren't, yeah, it yeah. is completely. Yeah, it's the anxiety of it.
I said, nobody knows, you know, at the end of this, what way is going to happen. So, yeah. as you said, fingers crossed. So you've taken to social media, Instagram. Yeah. You're blogging about it.
Yes.
And why did you decide that this was something you wanted to do, make it public and all that?
I actually said, it's so funny. I've been saying to my girls at years, I'm like, lads, I'd love to be blogging. They're like, what would you blog about? I'm like, I'm boring. Nobody would actually want to be listening to me. So, you know, my normal Monday to Friday 9 to 5, nobody cares about. So that went out the window. But then when this happened, I just kind of said, like, this is just, it's frightening how much it's happening. And like people, you know, even the whole, everything going on with the smear test over the last couple of years and like breast cancer is just, it seems to be everywhere. Everybody you speak to, there seems to be somebody in their family or somebody in their close circle of friends that have been hit with cancer. And I was like, do you know what? If I can make one person go and get a smear test, or because nobody, like, cancer won't say, right, no, I can't go near her because she's 30, she's 2 kids, she's, it doesn't care, like, you know what I mean? So I just said, if I can make one person go and get a smear test done, raise a little bit of awareness as to, you know, this is how you check your breast, this is what you do if you find a lump. It's just to try and kind of spread awareness out of that it does happen, and if you get it once and you get rid of it, you're not exempt from getting it again. Like, you know, it might come back, and as scary and as harsh as it is, it's the truth. I think it's just reality, and there's a lot around social media at the moment, and people, you know, like people doing like makeup tutorials and, you know, all these things with clothes, and like it's you know, that's what some people are into, but I just thought this is something that I would love to raise awareness about. And like it's actually been a whirlwind. Like I've almost 15,000 followers in 3-4 weeks, and I'm like, people are actually interested in it. And do you know what I love? It's the messages that I get every day. People are like, I've booked a smear test because you frightened me. You know, I kind of go, I'm going, well, that's what I wanted to do, you know, because even like my own mom is sitting at home with her letter, she's like, yeah, I must do that now, I must do that. I'm like, why aren't you doing
it?
It takes 10 minutes.
Pick up the phone.
And go and do it, do you know? So, and people have been asking me questions, do you know? And it's good that I'm able to answer, because they're like, how is it when you lose your hair at 19? And how is it when you lose your hair at 24? And it's just, in 5 years, so much changes. Do you know what I mean? So
massive.
I suppose just to spread a bit of awareness about it, to make people realise that it happens and that's the reality of it. And do you know what? It's been a great platform of support for me as well. Like, people have been so good to me and so kind. And a lot of good news stories, you know. My sister relapsed from non-Hodgkin's lymphoma 4 years ago. She's flying now. She had the stem cell in James's. Like, the amount of messages I've gotten of people who have been in the same shoes as me, and they've come out the other side, and they're telling me about it, you know. So it is brilliant.
And I suppose it's like, it's a public form of counselling in a way, you know. You're kind of bearing your heart, and people are following this journey with you. And you're able to, you know, express, you know, your fear, your happiness, your joy, your pain, your, oh my God, anxiety.
Absolutely.
And then you've got people interacting with you and saying, you'll be, you know, it's good, we're with you, we love you, and this happened, and, you know, so.
And it has been really good as well. People, there's been a couple who've reached out and said, look, we do such and such, and just because you're such a young girl, like sending me books for Roisin. And there was a lovely lady last week, she was a nurse, and she was like, I have a 3-year-old, and this is just, it really touched me. She said, can I just send Roisin a little gift? And while it's lovely, you know, I'm going, do you know, at least people are thinking about her as well, and it's good for her. And it has been brilliant. Like, it's kind of been, it kind of fills my days, because she fills my days, but do you know, it's kind of kept me occupied as well. I'm able to kind of talk. It's funny, because I'm talking to majority strangers, but it's able to express and get it out there, you know, and show that, like, because I cried last night, I'm not weak about it. Like, I'm quite strong, and I know that I will be fine, but I do have down days as well. And, you know, people are going, God, you're so positive, and you're brilliant, and you're this and you're that. And yeah, I am quite positive about the whole thing, but I also have meltdowns at home that I don't want to hide, that I want to say, look, that this has happened, and this is a meltdown, and this has upset me. But then come on the next day and said, and today is better, because, you know, it's good to share it.
And you mentioned there about losing your hair at 19. You, in anticipation of it this time, you've chopped it, and
chopped
I have to say, it's stunning.
Thank you.
It's absolutely stunning. Like, I think any kind of hairstyle would suit you, but
I just chopped it. I said,
it's beautiful. And but you're not kind of anxious about it, or
like I am anxious yeah. about it. You know, it's very hard mm. being a bald girl. Mm. You know, like when you don't want to be. Mm. Yeah, I am anxious about it, but I just think it's not on my top priority this mm. time. The last time I was 19, I'd no other worries. You know, I didn't want to lose my hair. Mm-hmm. You know, I really didn't. And when he said it, I was like, no, like, can you do something else and keep my hair? And we couldn't. And, you know, that was fine. This time around, I'm kind of the thing that I'm most anxious about is how frightened Roisin might be.
Yeah.
You know, because that would be a big thing for her, because she doesn't fully understand mm-hmm. it. You know, now I have kind of told her, Mammy's back is sore and the doctor yeah. gives me medicine. And when he gives me that medicine, my hair will fall out, but it's OK because it'll make me better and so mm-hmm. on. And she's OK with that. But I think when it happens, she will be frightened, but it's just not a thing that I'm going yeah. oh my god, you know yeah. like
the physical appearance isn't a priority right now.
No, it's not. You know? And do you know what, like, it's hair, and I've learned from it does grow back
yeah.
and it will come back. That's again it. Do you know yeah. Like I am going to get a hairpiece as well. I yeah. did the last time. I'm going yeah. to get one. You need that, you know, like I have some weddings coming up. I don't yeah. want to go around with no hair on. You know, people do get uncomfortable around a bald head. It's oh, funny they
yeah.
do
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I suppose if somebody was calling for a cup of tea, I have the comfort of putting on a hairpiece. Well, you know it. But to be honest yeah. I'll probably just whip it off and leave it hanging up somewhere and not bother wearing it. But yeah.
So going forward, you've a couple of months ahead that are going to be exhausting, testing, yeah. trying, but we're going to focus on the positives and what comes after that.
Absolutely. I'm just looking forward to now. I'm actually looking forward to starting my treatment. Yeah. I'm actually excited about it yeah. because I'm like, the sooner I start it, the sooner it's over. Mm-hmm. And even with the whole embryo freezing, we may need to delay treatment by right. 2 weeks. Okay. I'll definitely be started by the 2nd of September. We can't go any kind of longer after that. Mm-hmm. So I'll definitely be started by then. But I'm kind of like, if I can get in for the 19th, I will. Do you know, yeah. I'm kind of going, how long will this take? And can mm-hmm. I get in and start it? Because like Roisin starting school, like preschool the week yeah. after, and I'm going, well, I'm not going in that week because I have to be there for our first day of school course, and yeah. we'll have to wait till the week after. So, I just want to get in and get it done and just get better again.
Yeah, absolutely. Shannon, thank you so much.
Thank you for having
the time
me.
To Thanks. Come in and chat with us. It's been an absolute pleasure. You're an inspiration, in fairness to you now, girl. Keep going and keep blogging.
Thanks.
Because it's obviously helping people as well yeah. and helping you, and all the very best for the next
Thank you very much. Thanks a million. Thank you.